Show.
I'm Mike McCafferty, and I just want a dish best served cold and a side of French fries.
They are insane.
In the hands of an adolescent, it is a cellular peptide cake.
Inaccurate.
But red frosting.
It does like you.
Mr. Kim.
And it's real!
I'm ready to irradiate your existing brain cells.
Stepping out to Eden, yay, brother. Hello, everybody. My name is Mike McCafferty, and I just want to talk about Star Trek, and I'm hoping you just want to listen to it, because that's why we're here. I'm very excited right now. This is the first time I'm podcasting in my new studio office here. We have a garage office. We just moved, and it's perfect. I don't have a name for it yet, but I'm going to come up with that, or you're going to help me. Hey, I'm on this Twitter thing now, so if you want to go ahead and tweet me, it's at Mike McCafferty. Just go ahead and send me ideas for the name of this thing. I'll post a picture of what this looks like and we can come up with some sort of name. But I'm happy that you're here. Things are really starting to accelerate. This summer is really exciting for Star Trek and a little bit for me too, but for mostly for Star Trek. And we got to get to all of this stuff. And then later on, after I talk a little bit about the news and stuff that's going on, we're going to get to what this episode is about, which is about trivia and redemption and maybe revenge. But before we do that, I want to do a couple of shout-outs and then a quick, brief pass over the news of the week, because there's a lot of stuff going on. And I want to have another podcast where all my friends get together on this. But for right now, I just want to touch on this to acknowledge the fact that it's there. First of all, a quick shout out to Mumbly Joe on Twitter, at Mumbly Joe, who tweeted me to watch Chaos on the Bridge, which is on Netflix. It's a great documentary about the first two seasons of The Next Generation, all the madness that occurred. You heard in the last podcast about how Shades of Grey was sort of the low point of Star Trek, and I still believe that. And this documentary sort of reinforces that while providing a whole lot more context. You can see all the inner machinations that Gene Roddenberry had to go through in order to get the series, his series, to be the showrunner on this series. And then you see as his declining health started to affect the way he dealt with the show, how other people stepped in or how he hired other people, and how those people sometimes knew a lot or didn't know a lot about Star Trek and how that affected it. I think it was Brandon Braga who said probably the most salient point about the whole thing is that the first two seasons of Next Generation was about plot, and then seasons 3 through 7 was about character, which is a pretty accurate description of how the show went. Not that you can't do shows that are plot-driven or seasons that are plot-driven, but they weren't able to accomplish that as effectively as they could. And once they really started focusing on the characters, the show really bloomed. So, Chaos on the Bridge, Mumbly Joe, thank you very much. I always want to give a shout-out to the podcast Booze and Phasers. I was just on their podcast last night. These are three lovely women, Claudia, Heather, and Audrey, who drink and talk about Star Trek. And I drank, and I talked about Star Trek, and it's great. You can listen to that. It's going to be coming up on Tuesday on their network. We all have networks. I don't know what this is, but check them out, and they're great. And I'll be seeing Audrey later on tonight, but that's a tease. She's married. I'm married. Don't worry about that. Hey, third, I got to give a shout out. I've been looking at the dynamics of people who listen to this show, and a third of you are from a non-United States country, which is outstanding. People from Australia and England and Ireland and places where I don't think they speak English that much, like Germany and Denmark. So thank you. Thank you so much for listening to this little piece of chaos, of madness, chaos in the garage. I really appreciate it. And if you guys want some international flair to the show, I don't know what that means, but tweet me about that. This ends the social media portion of the show. Let's get into a little bit of news and notes. The new trailer for Star Trek Beyond just dropped today. And it's a lot lighter, a lot more fun, still has a lot of the action elements to it. But I hope what they're doing is they continue to build the three characters of Kirk, Spock, and McCoy. I think that's the core. And this trailer seemed to make that move forward. The closer the show gets, the more excited I'm actually getting to see it. And as we talked about before, you know, with the death of Anton Yelchin, I sort of have a little more of an empathy towards the show. And I'm putting aside all of my pettiness about how I felt about Into Darkness and stuff like that.
And I'm ready to see the show just on its own terms. I'm ready to see a show about people exploring and using science and friendship. That's what I want to see. If you guys, if they give me those three things, I'm going to be happy. So check out that new trailer. I will post it nowhere. In saying that, though, Star Trek Beyond continually trips over its own feet. And this whole thing that came out this week, if you haven't heard, John Cho decided, along with Justin Lin, to make Hikaru Sulu gay in the new series. And it's not an overt thing. It's not a whole subplot. I guess there's just a quick scene where he's with his husband and their daughter. And that would have been fine, but then George Takei came out and said he's not comfortable with that. It was not intended in the original character, and he feels as though that shouldn't happen. So instantly a whole internet firestorm got thrown up, and people took sides. And the debate is interesting because in one aspect, it's great to include a gay character, an openly gay character in Star Trek. That's what it should have been from the start. On the other hand, I can understand George Takei saying, wait a minute, I created a character a certain way, and now you're taking that character in a whole different direction, and you're sort of making it an issue. He becomes an issue character. I guess another question is, why Sulu? Is it because George Takei is gay? Why not Scotty? Why not Chekhov? Why not any of them? You know, I mean, it could be any of those people, but they chose him. So as much as Beyond tries to appease us and appeal to every niche of people, they just keep on tripping over their own feet. And so it's my hope that at the end of the day, this episode actually turns out to be pretty good. And lastly, I talked about it last week, but Paramount announced and CBS announced new guidelines for how to make Star Trek fan films. And they're a little draconian. You can only make up to 2 episodes, 15 minutes each in length. You cannot put the word Star Trek in the title. You can put, you have to put Axanar : a Star Trek fan film. So you have to put the phrase a Star Trek fan film in there. You can only use officially licensed products and costumes in the show. You can't use professionals, so I couldn't do one of these because I'm a member of the Screen Actors Guild. So they really kind of put their foot down on this, and it makes me a little sad. I understand this is their property. They can do whatever they want. But at the same time, shows like Star Trek Continues, shows like Star Trek New Voyages, even Axanar, they kind of blew it a little bit, I think. I think they really kind of went too far. But these shows have been holding up the franchise for the past couple years, especially for CBS, which has done nothing with the franchise for a long time. And for them to suddenly wake up and decide, oh, this is our property now, just seems really, really weird. It's like letting your lawn overgrow in the backyard, and you haven't cut it for, like, you know, decades. And, like, kids come and they play with it, and all of a sudden you see the kids playing with it, like, hey, get out of my yard. And then you still don't cut it down, all that overgrowth. You just post a sign that says no trespassing. So it feels a little like that. It feels like I wish they would have gone back and consulted some of these people making these fan films and say, how can we come to a compromise where you're not making money, but you're still working in our universe? This is the Prime universe, not the Kelvin universe, which was also announced. The Kelvin universe. It sounds weird, doesn't it? But so I am curious to see how a lot of these shows react to this. And in fact, there's a group called Red Shirts that I've been trying to talk to, and maybe next week I'll get a chance to sit down with them and talk to them and see how they feel about that. I don't think they're going to be in trouble because there's a sort of a parody, and they don't really use a lot of the Star Trek costumes and props, but we'll see. So those are the big issues going on this week, but let's talk about what's going on tonight.
I'll chase him round the moons of Nibia and round the Antares maelstrom and round perdition's flames before I give him up.
You know, Khan Noonien Singh was marooned, buried alive on Seti Alpha 5 by Kirk. He lost. He lost to Captain Kirk, someone who was genetically inferior to him. And it grated on him. For years and years, it built up into this hatred, this vengeance, this desire for retribution. I understand that level of anger, of frustration, of hatred. As you may or may not know, 2 weeks ago I went down to Riverside, Iowa, and one of the first things I did at the Trek Fest in Riverside, Iowa, the birthplace of Captain Kirk, was to do a trivia contest. And I'm pretty good at trivia. I know my Star Trek. But I was bounced after the first round by a Wesley question. Hate is a powerful thing. It stews in you. It grows and gnaws at you. And the sight of those four finalists going back and forth answering questions that I knew, has just dug a hole deep into my heart over these past 2 weeks. I need to have my Wrath of Mike. I need to come back and win, because I don't like to lose. Captain Kirk, Star Trek II. I don't like to lose. Well, as Providence held it, I have my chance. There is a Star Trek trivia contest happening tonight, and I'm going to be part of it. Now, this is a bar trivia contest, so it's not necessarily like one of those the locked-off one that's super hard, and there's drinking involved, and there's all sorts of madness, but when I saw that, I knew I had to do it. So, I gathered a team. You can have up to 6 people, and I gathered some of the greatest minds that I know about Star Trek. Excuse me, that was a burp. Just was like an inside burp. It may be one of the SETI eels inside. I'm not sure, that wraps itself around the brain. Making me very suggestible. So I have gathered this team together of 6 people. And then more people want to show up. So we might have 2 teams going down there, going down to Long Beach, California, to answer a bunch of trivia questions. So this is going to be great. I'm going to dress up. I don't know if they're going to dress up, but we're all going to go down there. And so right now what's going to happen is I'm going to cut, and then I'm going to pre-interview everyone before we start, and then we'll do the trivia contest, and then we'll check in as we are triumphant. That's okay. That doesn't count. Triumphant victors. Okay, the trivia contest has just ended a little while ago.
By the tone of your voice, can we read into how we did?
You know, you don't win them all.
Even when you have 2 teams playing.
When you win 6 out of 7 rounds and you don't win them all. Yeah. So I'm joined here by Kim Miller, Mike Stratagakis, okay. Jason McCarris, Alex Edelman, Ryan Nagata, Abba Gaith, and George Edelman. Pretty much everyone who's ever been on the show before. All my good friends who joined me in this quest to rid this foul taste of losing in Riverside, Iowa in the first round. And we almost did it. So here's part of the problem, is that we invited too many people.
Oh, we did.
We did, yeah. I invited Audrey in the middle of her podcast. You invited Mike in the middle of her podcast.
I told you I was inviting Mike.
I know.
Let's fight about this right now. Parking lot.
Up until that point, no one had said yes. But up until that point in time, we only had 5. 5 might have done it. We might have had the core.
No.
Well, no, because I would have had Nagata. And George, and you, and me, and who's the 5th?
Hello.
Oh, Jason McCarris.
Mike did a good job.
Mike was our
MVP. There were several answers.
He was my ringer. That's why we're on him.
So instead, we separated the saucer section. We did a saucer sep, as they say in the first episode. You know that Picard says we do a saucer sep.
Yeah.
No. He never says that again. A saucer sep. So we did a saucer sep. And we did teams of 5. And at the end, it was the penultimate round. My team was leading Ryan's team. I'm going to call it Ryan's team because I kept on looking at Ryan every time I didn't know an answer.
Yeah.
They were called Star Wars. Yeah.
They were called Team Star Wars.
I would nod like we knew it.
Yeah.
I said we were going to be, we are either going to be friends or enemies.
All Ryan cared about was beating your team. He didn't care.
Yeah, no, yeah.
I had resigned to not winning, but I said, we just have to beat Mike's team.
I know. I could see it every time. He had the slow boiling hatred at me.
So that was the secret rivalry in the whole.
This is true. There was, yeah, but really we should work in the same team because we paid for the tickets.
We paid for the tickets. We were neck and neck for six rounds.
For six rounds, it was 2 points that were separating us. At the end, it was like, 58 to 56 or something like that. We were up against on 2 points. And then the last question, who hasn't talked? Kim, what was the last question?
Oh, just name all the episodes that Q has been in.
Name 10 out of 12 episodes that Q had been in.
Out of multiple series.
Out of all the series. And it stumped us. Ryan, how many did your team get?
We got 9 of 10.
Which one did you miss? Which one did you put in? There were possible.
Well, we ended up putting Encounter at Farpoint Part 2 just because that was the thing we were going to put in.
We almost didn't know that. Yeah. We talked about that.
Yeah, but I was really confident about those 9. And so if there was one more.
Yeah. We'd had one more. We'd have doubled down.
And you ended up knowing, surprisingly, you knew that was the Voyager one.
I got the Q and the gray and Q-less, which is Deep Space Nine.
So we'd have had it all together. We'd have doubled down, and that'd have been the end of the
game. Actually would have had 11.
Because you didn't know all the TNG ones, but I think we got all.
We
the
had
TNG.
All the TNG.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had all the TNG.
And we knew Q too.
And so this other team, this third team, which was kind of like drafting behind us the whole night. These two dudes who I gotta be honest, they were nice. They bought 2 tickets.
You don't have to.
You're right.
Yeah, well, they did us a favor.
It's your podcast.
They bought 2 tables by accident ahead of time.
So they paid $30 and $30 when they should have
saved us $20 buying the second table.
And lost us $115. So, yeah.
That's why they did it to us.
Yeah. So they doubled down the very last answer, and they got it right. And it just, and I couldn't believe it. I saw you guys. You guys came in third place. And then they announced us in second place, and it was Riverside, Iowa all over.
You know, that double down rule is kind of lame, I gotta say. Because that kind of, like, it just makes it too super powerful.
Yeah, it's too easy.
Yeah, it's too easy to take
because,
over.
Because you always have the element, if you double down and you get it wrong, you're going far behind. Yeah. So there's always that element of, are you as confident enough in your answers to hit that double down?
I see that, but, I mean, I just feel like that came and gives a team like that an advantage at the very last question.
But that's kind of the game, because you can be behind by a pretty good shot, but if you know your stuff in the last rounds and you're confident, then you have a shot at winning.
And they were good. They weren't like...
Yeah.
They were always floating around. They were tying us a couple times. Yes, third place.
They were always in the mix.
There was only 2 of them as well.
I just didn't take them seriously.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah. Well, this is in Long Beach. I imagine we should find out what the final score was in Toluca Lake. Because I imagine, the high score was 73. I think we scored 79. You guys scored 69. You guys scored 67 or something.
Were there only
68?
Were there more than just here in Toluca Lake?
Just here in Toluca Lake. But I have to imagine they got like 80s or 90s. I mean, like some people were doubling down.
Yeah, I mean, they had a pretty powerful crowd out there. They sold out.
Is it the same questions that read Toluca Lake?
Yeah, it's the same questions.
Question.
Yeah.
So how do we know that they
didn't how do we know they didn't do that one and then come here and do
it's
this
It's exact same time. It's happening.
It's the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Almost like they're like Mirror Universe guys. Right?
Yeah, maybe their brains are switching bodies.
Yeah,
it's like an hour earlier.
So is this ever happening again? Or is it a one-off?
Not for me.
Who knows?
It's not.
Mike's done.
I'm so done with this.
Mike's done with Star Trek after this.
I was so happy. It was just such a victory lap. It was like, maybe we double, because we doubled down on the penultimate one and we got it right.
Yeah, the movies.
The Jimmy Doohan one. That was
too easy.
Too.
And I was like, if we're 10 points ahead of everyone, we're just gonna coast through this. But five teams doubled down and got it right, so it was tough. Like, if you go to these things, it's King Trivia. I'll give them a little bit of dap for this. And they did it's 7 rounds, and 90% of the questions every Star Trek person should know, 10% are just off in a different dimension. What was the Enterprise one about the holodeck? You remember that?
It was the race of aliens that introduced the holodeck to Starfleet or whatever. George and I knew the episode. We even knew the details that happened. Like, Trip Tucker, was he pregnant?
Which is really sad.
But we could not come up. It was just a random alien name. And we knew it was. And it was like, this is a ridiculous question.
Yeah.
We didn't even try.
Yeah, it was just like these weird like speed bumps in the middle of things. And then there's also the one in Let That Be Your Last Battlefield.
Yeah.
Name the planet that the half-black, half-white guys came from.
We were convinced you
No, the race.
The race. Well, the race, yeah.
Well, but half-white, half-African-American.
Yeah, racist.
We can't go there right now. We cannot go
entered a new dimension in this process.
Well, you know, the other question that threw me was, but we got it right, was the Wesley Crusher's middle name.
Right, yeah.
That was strange, because that was from StarTrek.com.
You know? I can't believe you guys also got that right, because we debated that, and it was like a stab. It was like,
yeah. Well, because Strat had the name that was referenced before, which was Eugene.
And that's what I had,
right.
too.
Right, yeah. And then we thought, because it was a Roddenberry thing, that maybe it was Rod. And then, but we knew it was an R because it was the round was the Atomic Bond round, and we knew the answer was Shimmerman. So it was, we knew it was going to start with an R. So that's, these guys came up with the guess. So
Brian wanted to go with Robert, and it just sounded like a better name.
Yeah.
You know, there's something really sad about commiserating about losing stuff.
This is a safe place.
Yeah. Like going beat by beat and being sad about it is really sad.
Well, but I mean, I promised in the opening of this podcast that I would triumphantly return, and I got to own up to it. I mean, I have to face the fact it was such a victory because, like, I paid for both of our teams, and so it's like, we're win-win. Like, I win, like, we pay off for everything, and this is like a free night for everyone, you know? Maybe I even buy drinks, you know? And then, from out of the blue, these guys just came in and just totally, like, conned us, you know?
I think what's so sad about it is that we know so much about Star Trek.
I know.
And we couldn't win.
But also that the combination of this table knows more than those
Yeah,
two.
Oh, we know
yeah,
a lot.
So that's
way too much.
There was just two of them.
That's
the saddest part.
Well, like 100 of us.
So who did they leave behind?
You know what I found weird was that I knew with a question, I knew absolutely 100% I had the answer, or 100% I didn't know. Which is odd for trivia. Because usually with trivia, like I don't know, it could be right, but I was like, that's absolutely it, or that's not it.
Yeah, exactly.
So I could double down easily if we got 10.
Yeah.
There was only one time I doubled down, and that was with the villains for the movies. But there were, like, in the first round, we actually got all six right, even though I said a Salak, and it was a Salat.
Yeah, you guys got credit on a couple iffy ones.
Yeah.
Well, they weren't
give you the benefit
really
of the
going hardcore on spelling, and we got kind of a bonus.
We
on
got that
we actually
would have
tied.
Wife.
We actually would have tied.
Oh, you
they got
Tuvok's wife.
Those were, we were training you by two most of the game, and those were the two.
Powell. Oh, God, that's right. The first one. Yeah, you guys actually won.
T'Pau is not, that's a different character.
Yeah, T'Pau
is
different.
T'Pau
and T'Pau are different.
Yeah. It's T'Pau, right?
It's T'Pau.
T'Pau. Yeah.
See, I said when we were thinking of guesses, I was like, I feel
he joked
it could be T'Pau, because all the names are the same.
It's a T-something. It's T-something.
Yeah.
So actually, you guys technically would have won had they given us, like, the correct, you know, because I missed the Salak by, like, one letter. And then T'Pau was, you know, for some reason they gave it to me. I don't know.
We had a lengthy debate about.
Don't do it, Abed. Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Abed grabbed a knife there.
It's not a sharp knife.
Yeah.
Guys, call me.
Not worth it.
So what are we to make of this? Is all of our years of Star Trek for naught? I mean.
I guess so.
Does this tie into your Star Trek midlife crisis?
Well, it might be. Right. I was feeling so much better about myself since Iowa, and now I'm feeling kind of crappy again, you know?
What hurts is that you're so close, but then there's like two or three things. Those, and I knew driving up here that it was going to be a couple questions that would get us.
Well, here's the thing, too, is that they said it's going to be predominantly TOS and TNG questions.
Right. Which wasn't true,
because every single round had at least one Voyager, Enterprise, or Deep Space Nine question. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess that fulfills the predominantly, but, like, I would think it's, like, 95% of those, and then, like, oh, here's a Deep Space Nine question everybody can get. You know, what's the name of the Ferengi, you know, bartender? Like, oh, it's Quark. But this was, I mean, ultimately, I mean, like, that whole, like, fourth round or whatever it was, where it was Armin Shimmerman.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. And we were all sitting there trying to figure out, is it two M's or one?
Yeah.
I mean, that should not be part of our diagnosis of this stuff. It should all be about...
Actually made it easier, though, because it wouldn't fit otherwise.
Well,
you knew exactly which letter of which, you know, answer was correct. By,
yeah, this is true. Yeah. But then I was stuck on the Eugene versus Robert.
Right.
You know, there were multiple non-canon questions now that I think about it.
And they also had a TAS question, too.
Right, because TAS is not canon, right?
No, it is canon now.
Oh, it is?
It's been kind of reabsorbed. with sort of a kind of implicit, like, okay, you know, because, like, you know how it got, it was, what happened is they were just like CBS called Roddenberry's office and said, hey, is the animated series canon? And I think his secretary said no. And like that, like, establishes not being canon for the longest time. It's like just some random woman's like, no, I don't think so. You know, the end. And then like for like 4 years.
She probably didn't like cartoons.
Yeah, well.
Well, so there was a question about that, and then there was the website, the name, the Wesley Crusher middle name question.
That is ridiculous.
That doesn't count. That's not Star Trek.
It's not a website. It is not a canon.
It's something that somebody at StarTrek.com decided on.
Right, right.
It's not something that was decided by the
show. But what's crazy is that both of our teams knew the Eugene thing, which would be the closest to an actual middle name he had.
But see, that makes sense because Wesley was named out because Eugene Wesley Roddenberry. Wesley is his middle name. We just looked at that. And so it's like, that makes sense. But like, Robert is just Robert. I don't understand, you know.
What, did some fan just decide that? How did that work?
I have no idea.
Maybe Will Wheaton came up with it.
I don't. But here's something I did find out, is that actually, you know, Tiberius, the first mention of it is actually from the animated series.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought that's true, because it Undiscovered Country is the now it's considered.
What's on the gravestone in the first episode he appears in? Oh, it's R? Yeah, I knew it was like a trivia. It's a trivia question.
Yeah.
Wow, that's impressive. But yeah, that's the kind of thing that would be a trivia question.
I couldn't read it when I was looking at the videotapes, you know, like back in the 80s and 90s, and you pause it, because it was like 480, and you're like, what does that say? I'm trying to find what date he died, you know, what day he was born, and didn't have it there.
It was James R. Kirk.
James R. Kirk,
yeah. Mm. And then it was in TAS, someone said, hey, like one of the writers was literally like reading about the Emperor Tiberius, which is he's not a great emperor. He's a pretty terrible emperor, actually. And he said, hey, can I name him Tiberius? Like, sure, go for it, you know. So,
what's weird is they asked the middle name for Wesley, but they don't ask the middle name for Riker. And that is established.
This is true, yeah. That's a canon thing, yeah. So.
Because Thomas is the other.
That's right, yeah, the guy who rips off his fake beard in Deep Space Nine.
Triumphantly,
yeah.
He goes to jail.
This makes me want to have, like, a trivia contest, like, every month or something, like a legitimate trivia contest, not by, like, some Yahoos. You know. can we just stop and talk about our host? Our host was a great guy.
Very nice guy.
Not necessarily a Star Trek fan. Someone give me a pronunciation, quickly.
Chakotay.
Oh, that was weird.
Vigur.
I couldn't tell if he was joking or not.
So in Voyager, they had Chakotay.
Bajoran.
What's that?
Bajoran.
The Bajorans in Deep Space Nine. And in Star Trek The Motion Picture, it was Vajur, right?
Vajur.
He kept looking at our table like, you guys are my pronunciation guys.
you're Star Wars guys.
And then there was the Makis. Wasn't it the Makis instead of the Maquis?
Did he really say Makis?
He said something like
who
that, yeah.
For Adonai.
Yeah. What's it? Oh, yeah. Who mourns for Adonai? In the episode, who mourns for Adonai?
I like Vigur. Whatever, however you say it most, because it felt like he was trying at that point to do it like Star Trek-y. Like he was like, oh, this is the name of a weird alien. I got this. And he really went for it, and we all laughed.
It made us happy. It put us in an era of superiors. No, it's Chakotay. Come on, man.
You nerd.
This is really going to help us out in life. You know, sitting in a back room of a restaurant in Long Beach. You know,
it's funny that he only had he had his playlist and then he had the Into Darkness. So. That's it.
It was like it was the last
two choices.
One.
Yeah. Why did he only have the Into Darkness?
I know. It was
why
weird.
Did he buy the Into Darkness?
No, but I think he said at one point he wanted to play the sound from like the on the ship, you know, like the hum.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that would be cool. Like, I'm into that.
He pulled us like four times. Like, okay, so do you want to hear my mix or do you want to hear Into Darkness? And then we all raise our hand, Into Darkness. Okay, I'm going to ask again. Do you want to hear our mix or Into Darkness?
I think he really wanted to play his mix. He wanted to blow
our
mind.
He was like, yeah. He was like, oh, my God.
What I was realizing is no one at my table was raising their hand for Into Darkness. And I thought, oh, they just don't want to hear this or they hate the movie or something like that. But it was more that Ryan didn't want to agree with your table. anything Mike votes for, don't vote for it.
I remember thinking, like, wow, everyone hates Into Darkness.
I...
I wasn't raising because I didn't want to.
No, that's why. That's not why I was not raising my hand.
I thought we were friends, Ryan. Really
didn't. No, that was the joke, but I just didn't want to raise my hand.
It's
anything.
Like a wolf in the forest.
Silent protest.
We are in elementary school.
I can't believe I brought like this, you know, turncoat in, actively playing against me. You know,
that was probably the reason you lost. It's like you had an enemy here.
Well, like the enemy within, that's what it was, right?
Yeah.
I kept on, like, whenever there's a Voyager question, I kept on, like, with, like, pleading eyes looking to Ryan, and he just kind of shrugged. He's like, oh. He would just, like, give me nothing. I was like, please just mouth something. I'm so lost.
But, Mike, you knew the Ocampo, right?
I knew the Ocampo.
Yeah, I didn't think you would know that, but you did.
I don't know why I knew that. And then our friend Brian Bradley knew the Talaxian. And he doesn't know anything about this stuff.
Oh, no, he was like our secret weapon. That guy just popped up with all
the... He knew James Doohan as being born 1920, and, you know, that was the first question, and it goes 10, 8, you know, 6, 2, 4, and, like, each question makes it... They give more and more questions, or more answers, and then if you answer it with 10... Clues, thank you. If you answer it... Then you get 10 points. If you wait
Clues
to 8 points.
The name of an episode.
It is the name of an episode.
Also, remember, he walked
where
away.
Where Crusher
and then he
has those
back.
Little terrariums. Like,
right. She's alone. It's a Crusher episode. Always always good.
No, that's Remember Me. That's Remember Me.
Oh, you're right.
Clues is where they all wake up and they forget.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And she's
Clues
like,
is
look,
good.
This is grown.
Clues.
It is a good one. It's a good Crusher one. You have a little bit of Crusher. Remember Me's not that bad either. Remember Me's like the best.
Not that great either.
I think it's like the best.
Remember Me is better than Clues.
It's,
really?
Remember
you think so?
I think it is, because it's really creepy.
I haven't watched them in a while, but I thought Clues was good.
I remember liking Clues Remember Me. It's another one of those sci-fi...
Yeah.
High concept
ones.
Yeah, because, and like, she actually gets to do something active, and, you know, it's...
Yeah.
You know, like, there's no other good actors, like, near her, like, to kind of, like, you know, like, remind us, like, eventually they keep...
Sub-Rosa was good, too.
Well... See, now you're just baiting me, right?
That guy, Brian, remember Mike, he left and then he came back and he's like, hey, have you guys used Tapestry yet?
Remember? Oh, Brian. Like,
yeah, it's like he just popped in with that and you were just, you flaked out.
Well, Brian might have been the difference between our two tables because on the Doohan question, we were going all the way down the car. We were trying to figure out places where people were born and what the dates were and things like that. And we were figuring out, okay, because I knew this round was coming. And so we were like, okay, well, Shatner and Nimoy were both 31, and Roddenberry was 2021?
1921, yeah.
So when they said 20, I was like, oh, well, obviously it's not any of those main cast who's going to be younger than those two guys. So and then Strat was the one who immediately jumped up with him and was like, oh, well, we thought we had you guys. We were up there, handed it in immediately, and they were like, oh, we got them. We're going to get those extra couple points because the next... question of round, next question in that round gets less points. So we thought, oh, we're finally going to catch up to your get ahead, and no, he came through with the Doohan.
He came through with the Doohan. I mean, it was just
came
like...
came through with the Doohan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What else? He got another one, too, that was like a doozy.
Well, he got Tapestry's Doohan, right? And he had the Talaxians. Those were the three ones he came through with. You came through with Charon for the Let That Be Your Last Battlefield, even though we knew everything else about him, you know, Bella and Loki, Loki, Beel and Loki. So yeah, it was, again, like, I feel like we won by losing, that's not, no.
Try it again.
They cancel each other out if we do that.
Well, I think we might have canceled each other. I think we soured the milk. I'm going to say we soured the milk a little bit. To go back.
It was the matter and the antimatter.
With relics. But this was a good night. I got to say, regardless of losing, it was a good night because it was fun to see everybody just hanging out, having fun. It wasn't a big crowd. And
no.
It was
us.
I would say we had maybe
constituted
like
two-thirds.
Two-thirds. No, there was probably maybe
did
like...
Did we outnumber the non-us? I think we did.
I don't know. I think there was 10 of us, and I think there's probably 30 people overall. So I think it was a third of us. You know, but and most of the other guys. I felt bad for these people over there. There's like a group of four people here, and they're older, and they had their Star Trek shirts on, and they were just. And we were just kind of blowing them out of the water. And after a while, they just seemed kind of sad, you know?
Was that Locutus? Is that team?
No, Locutus was over there. Locutus wasn't even playing. They got
was that Janeway? That was all the way Janeway?
No.
It was the JJ people, wasn't it?
Was it the JJ? Oh, the JJ. Maybe that was them. Yeah.
The real question is, are they podcasting about it right
now? I don't know.
Probably.
I don't know. No one is podcasting like we are. We have separated the sauce here, and
at least you have that. Over those other, those
this
two
is
young.
True. Yeah, this is true. Yeah, those guys—they're not going to Comic Con. They're not part of the Feral Audio Network. Damn it! Or maybe
right.
Maybe
see, that's
they are.
Actually, one of the guys here is my Facebook friend, and I recognize
his name is Nathan. He came up to us.
Yeah. Oh, he did.
He did. Okay. Yeah.
I've met him at the convention. STLV. Yeah.
He didn't say hi to you.
Oh.
Yeah. Sorry. He was complimenting us on our depth of knowledge. He said, I just want to say, man, it's so great to meet people who just go. You guys are blowing us out of the water with how much you know. I was like,
oh yeah,
really
he was
great.
Nice. Yeah.
He was super nice.
He looked like Neil deGrasse Tyson.
He did. Yeah, he did.
I gotta.
You should. Maybe you was.
It looked like Neil deGrasse's like brother. You know,
he might have been Neil
deGrasse's
brother. Yeah. And this was like during like round 6 or 5 when we were still taking our victory lap. Like, oh, hey, so nice. Well, you know, we just know a lot about Star Trek. And you know, I have a podcast. You should totally listen to it.
What was he talking about? He had some charity thing?
He has a charity. It was like
1701 or something.
Yeah, the 1701s or something like that.
Right,
cool.
Right.
Actually, we should get him on as a guest or something like that. But,
oh, yeah, he's a nice fellow, that guy.
He's a nice fellow.
I'll send him a Facebook message.
A nice
you should, yeah. Would you do that?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
All was not lost.
All was not lost.
Got a new guest on the podcast.
This is true. Thank you,
George. You won a guest.
I lost money, but I won a guest. This is so great.
It's like it costs you that much money to get that guest.
And I paid for their dinner, too. That's like the worst thing about it, is because like it costs $30 for their ticket. It's like, oh, I'll just buy your dinner. I'll pay like $30 for your dinner. So they were my guests, and they won. And they took my money. So
they took free dinner, huh?
They got a free dinner.
That's like taking your money and then kicking you in the face.
Yeah, they ordered some sort of like weird. You saw it, right? Camera, no.
Those two guys.
Yeah, they had some sort of weird meatloaf.
Oh, I saw those meatballs.
Yeah, like a meatball. Yeah, so maybe
it's like a meatball.
Yeah, they were like a
dish with a giant meatball.
That was like a Star Trek
meatball.
Like entree. Yeah.
It looked weird.
Like you get that at big Star Trek Vegas.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
It was a Talaxian meatball. It was
a single meatball.
I have a great thing for you. It's a Talaxian meatball. Oh God, Ethan Phillips. Oh God. All right. So when are we next going to meet up here? So is it going to be?
We're coming back next week.
Next week. Well, when is Comic-Con?
Just a tribute amongst ourselves.
Comic-Con is
the 20th through the 24th, something like that.
20th to 24th. So Ryan and George, you guys are not going.
No, but you can have our Star Trek Beyond tickets, so you can go see Star Trek Beyond
with the San Diego Symphonies.
How'd you guys get
it? It was because we didn't get let into the fan event. Oh. We were invited, but they didn't have enough room for us.
Okay,
that's really nice.
But I have two, one for me and Suzanne. And
oh,
George.
I only have one.
So we have three.
All right.
You beat three.
Yeah, you got three passes.
Well, let me see if I can get one through alternate means if you guys really want to go down and see it.
No.
No? Okay. All right. Are you not excited for this? Is it not going to do for you, Star Trek Beyond?
Well, we're going to the convention. There's only so many times I can travel right now.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So it's sort of like that's one more trip. And by convention, I mean the Star Trek convention. So it's sort of like Comic-Con.
All
right. But I don't want my pass to go to waste.
Oh, well, I'll
go
see it then.
Yeah.
Maybe Jason will go see it. Maybe Kim will go see it because we're all San Diego bound. You guys are going down to Comic-Con, right? No one else is going to Comic-Con.
I might. I might have a ticket, but it depends on if my friend's girlfriend goes or not.
All right.
Our friend, Mr. Hirasaki.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Hirasaki, yeah. Oh, Mr. Well, again, well, I'll tell you guys afterwards. So, if you're going down to Comic-Con, I'm going to be in the Feral Audio booth at some point in time. I'll let you know about that. We'll be podcasting. Hopefully with more joyous news than this second place loss. I can't believe it. I'm so upset.
Why wasn't there no second or third prizes?
Yeah, you should put
it. I know. It's just like winner take all.
Like maybe
you know?
Maybe pick up the tab or something. Like, you know,
that would have been nice. Yeah.
Nice, yeah.
Although Kim picked up the tab, so I guess I won with that.
Think planned again.
You can pretend that they gave that to you. But.
You got a double Fizbit. How lucky you are. All right, so I'm heavily considering doing just a monthly or bi-monthly Star Trek trivia contest, just because I'm irritated at people defeating me.
You mean hosting one or
hosting
one?
No, hosting one. No, I mean that's the only way I can win, right? I'll be the Q on this, and yeah, I'll be the Q, and I'll stand there and I'll hold my arms out. See you out
Q
there.
Q is this.
You're disqualified. Yeah, Q is. That's called the Q is.
I was trying to look up to see if there was a trivia contest at the Vegas convention, but I can't find one. But
oh, that'll be a bloodbath.
I know they've done it before.
We get slaughtered. I'm sorry, but like this is Long Beach, and we got beat. You know, I mean,
I don't know.
That's yeah. You never know. No, that Vegas one.
This is just find out where they're from, like Wisconsin or something. Like, I don't even think they're from around here.
Well, if it's only the original series, I would hold my own. When it gets like into Next Generation, I go halvesies, and then everything beyond that, I'm out.
Did
so.
You know them, Jason? You knew that they were like professional trivia people?
No, I was joking.
Oh, I thought you knew.
No, it was the joke that George was telling earlier about
it's a trivia
professional trivia guys who go from town to town. You know, taking every money.
Ryan had actually said if there was a, we were talking about the idea of like a ringer in trivia who just travels around and wins, takes the pot, and then goes
hustler.
To the next town.
That would be like a sort
but they'd be
of
cheating. They
exciting
wouldn't be
movie.
Genuinely good.
Yeah,
they'd
yeah.
Be cheating.
And I'm dressed up. I just want to tell you guys who are listening. I'm in a full head to toe Star Trek green tunic, black pants. Long boots. These are almost like riding boots here. They're so tall. And I thought that was going to be the edge. I also toasted several times.
Yes.
Your toasts were great.
That's the only thing I wanted, I think. So
you toasted at the end of one of the rounds. It's like you're like, before the round ended, you...
All right, so let's cap this off. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for listening to my pain. Tell me about your pain. I am the Psylocke of this. You're the Psylocke. Thank you for taking my pain. I'm Mike McCafferty.
I'm Kim Miller.
I'm Mike Stratigakis.
I'm Jason McCarris.
Alex Edelman.
I'm Ryan Nagata.
I'm Aubrey Gay.
I'm George Edelman.
And I just wanted to win at Star Trek.
Distract sequence completed and engaged.
Don't you fucking stand!
Non sequitur. Your facts are uncoordinated.
When the train comes in, everybody runs.
Blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah.
Do you realize most of my patients die?
He tasks me. He tasks me, and I shall have him.
Hello, I'm Kyle Ayers. I'm the host of Never Seen It, the podcast where comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we give them a read in studio. This is a clip I want to play for you guys from an episode where Langston Kerman rewrites Scarface. He's never seen it, but he wrote a script based on what he thinks he knows about it, and here's a clip. Give it a listen.
All right, Scarface, The New Frontier. Interior, happening discotheque. Remember when we called clubs discotheques? LOL, the 70s were crazy. Night. The crowd bustles with young, hot Mexicans who are supposed to be Cuban and all are dressed in butterfly-collared shirts and pants that look like JNCO jeans and pleated khakis had a really weird baby. There's sex in the air and Poppy wants a whiff.
Oh my God.
Scarface, 22 to 45.
Like he's a television audience demographic.
Devilishly handsome. Not even a little bit Italian looking, so get that out of your dumb brain. Walks through the crowd with the confidence of a man who's going on MTV Cribs with the Ying Yang Twins one day. Does he actually have a scar on his face? Fuck no. Why would you even ask that? That's not important. What's important is that he is not at all a problematic stereotype and that he has come for his cocaine. As he approaches the red rope of the VIP, pronounced Ve A Pay in Spanish,
oh my God.
He spots his dear friend who is almost certainly going to become his enemy by the end of the film, Smooth Skin. Scarface yells out his signature line.
Ciao, Bella. It's me, Scarface.
Oh my